How has it come to this, and what can men do against such reckless hate? From masters of the largest empire the world has ever known, now 50 years later, as a servile, deracinated, seemingly cowardly, and certainly castrated society. A society that will endure any manner of indignity, the mass defilement of their daughters, and being taught that any questioning of the current social experiment being inflicted upon them will be met with the full force of the law, and their liberty will be stripped from them for things such as social media posts. How can any people continue to endure the constant humiliations and violence perpetrated against them with little more than a random protest every time the transgressions are particularly horrific? This is the modern United Kingdom, and every single time when a few days pass, Britain never drifts toward the thunder of revolution, as many are calling for now, over the example of the senseless killing of an 18-year-old man, or three little girls before him, or the industrial plunder of Britain's daughters and of its communities, and the clear two-tier policing response, as well as the brutalizing of its natives by the authorities. So how did it come to this? So then, in this video, we will be examining what is a masterclass in elite manipulation, and that being Britain's hidden historical strength turned into its modern poison, and that being a nation bred for empire abroad because it accepted chains at home. And also, before we begin, I should say that the opinions in this video are formed not only through study, but my own experience, being that I have spent many years of my life in the UK, even if I don't sound like it. And also because my own mother was born and brought up in the UK, as was her family before her for centuries. So give my accent some latitude, if you will. I have a new shop, new designs, have a look. Link is in the description. It helps the channel, I'm sure you'll find something you'll like. Thanks in advance, and let's get going. Enter modern Britain. After a soul-crushing 9-hour shift beneath the migraine flicker of fluorescent tubes, the typical Brit trudges home through the damp twilight, flicks on the kettle with ritualistic precision, and collapses into a sagging embrace of his sofa. There, in the warm glow of his television, deliverance arrives. Can't pay, we'll take it away. Or call the bailiffs, time to pay up. Or many other such shows that act like a strangely narcotic spectacle of human ruination. The premise of these shows is deceptively simple. Bailiffs arriving like hooded executioners at dawn to dismantle lives over trifling sums of money. For example, in one episode that lingers in my mind, a man named Stan, still haunted by a washing machine purchased in the fleeting optimism of a long-forgotten raise, now owes a mere £180. It's 6 a.m. in the morning, and the enforcers descend upon his modest terraced home in, I believe it was Eastbourne or other such place. "Good morning, sir," they intone with bureaucratic serenity. "We're here regarding an outstanding balance." And then, of course, the camera sweeps quickly across the wreckage of the debtor's life. A girlfriend weeping in threadbare pajamas, family dogs barking and hurling themselves against the walls in primal fury, wide-eyed children huddled like startled ghosts, and almost invariably, the debtor's home is a cluttered, ramshackled interior, all being presented to the viewing delight of the public. For centuries, the British psyche has been tempered in the slow fire of deference, kneeling before landlords and headmasters, cowering beneath parking wardens and middle managers named Simon with their laminated authority, all wrapped up in an immovable caste system so well thought out that your class can easily be devised by how you speak. And now this conditioning finds its purest expression in the vicarious thrill of watching another's soul being liquidated on Channel 4. The bailiffs are archetypes of these ingrained symbols of authority, calmly inventorying the microwave, washing machine, Hoover, and toaster with medieval gravity. Britain has alchemized debt enforcement into primetime comfort viewing, a narcotic for people long trained in dignified humiliation at the hands of any man wielding the correct cloak, badge, wig, or paperwork on an official-looking clipboard. And this spectacle of humiliation for one's fellow citizen is not an accident of modernity. It is the long harvest of a deeper curse that has tentacles that go back a millennium and points to how the native British can endure all manner of debasement, loss of dignity, degradation, and indignity that we see in the country today. It's how their sons can be casually killed, their daughters viciously and industrially defiled, and their communities and nation plundered. It began with the invasion of 1066 when Norman conquerors crushed the native English and carved their green isle into fiefdoms of iron rule. No invitation, no gentle fusion, only raw subjugation. In 1215, when the barons forced their king to seal the Magna Carta, later gilded by myth as liberty's shining beacon, which it was not, as in truth it was the oligarch's quiet triumph, what it did was allow the hoarding of power among the wealthy few. While other crowns elsewhere on the continent might champion the peasantry, England's bowed low before its landowners, embedding injustice into the very architecture of the realm. Trapped on their misty island with no wild frontiers to flee toward, the people absorbed resignation as a virtue. Thomas Hobbes distilled this order in his 1651 Leviathan, urging submission to the sovereign beast, lest life remain solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. Laws like the 1662 Settlement Act, well, it chained workers to their parishes, and the 1834 Poor Law, well, it all but abolished relief, tools that were used and forged to keep the many docile while the very few grew rich. Even things like commissions in the Empire's military were openly bought and sold, ensuring only the rich could command, while elite education remained the guarded preserve of the privileged, and it sharpened the blade of class, the many tenants, and the few landlords. Also, throughout the century, wars constantly claimed British sons and did so without a murmur from the population. Even the welfare state, born grudgingly after 1945, well, it now erodes without any true backlash. Brexit, a masterclass in elite manipulation. And this, as I stated in the beginning of this video, this is Britain's hidden strength turned poison. A nation bred for empire abroad because it accepted chains at home. But now, with a collapsed empire, that habit of submission becomes a slow and not elegant whatsoever fade into the twilight, as native British people accept their displacement with little more than a random Tommy Robinson rally that teaches the virtues of a strong multicultural Britain minus one group. And at these protests of about 150 souls that flood London streets, they do so over immigration, crumbling governance, and, of course, betrayal. And the voices are raw beneath these gray skies, but, as always, just another fleeting flare. Observers, as always, hold their breath. Would the British lion finally roar? But yes, of course, the crowds disperse and nothing changes. What has become crystal clear to anyone at this point with eyes to see is that the native British soul was forged not in defiance, rebellion, or a yearning for freedom, but in endurance. Nowhere is this more bitterly illustrated than in the fresh wound of Henry Nowak on the British people. Back in December 2025, the 18-year-old student in Southampton was stabbed to death by a 23-year-old Sikh man wielding a large ceremonial blade, one of Sikhism's articles of faith, that is protected by legal exemptions. The initial police response was swayed by the killer's false claim of racist attack, as though this justified their lack of humanity to the boy that had been stabbed. But they did see that the dying teenager was handcuffed. The case has reignited ferocious debate over two-tier policing, that being the clear and obvious fact that authorities in the United Kingdom tread much more softly around minority sensitivities than they do around native grievances. Protests, of course, swelled around the country. Echoes of the 2024 riots returned. Banners waving against yet again more injustice being meted out to the native peoples. But of course, there was Prime Minister Keir Starmer in Parliament saying that the killing should not be made political. But of course, this is the same Keir Starmer that took a knee for George Floyd and BLM in 2020 and made that man's death in another country very political in his own. And all of this is yet again because the deeper undercurrent within the society flows unchanged. And that being a people taught for a millennium that the way of things is simply the way of things. And the way things are is simply the way things are. And the political class can and will inflict whatever torment they want on the native British people because they can and always have. And thus, the British endure, sleepwalking through their ignominious decline, taking every new indignity with the stiff upper lip they were trained through subjugation to have. The United Kingdom of today is a living museum of feudal ghosts and a thoroughly deracinated and cowed population. Anglos, and I do believe this is somewhat reflected in the English-speaking diaspora nations, they remain steadfast in not only quietly accepting the paperwork of their own obsolescence, but also enduring its brutality, fearing the loss of what little liberty they have should they make a post on social media. Not until these historical mental shackles are understood and cast off will any amount of change happen, because it will not come via the ballot box or the current occasional kickoff to protest the latest indignity inflicted on the British people. So, there's a lot to digest in this video. What do you think? Leave me your thoughts in the comment section below. If you liked the video, please leave it a thumbs up on your way out. Check to see that you're still subscribed. Also, remember to check out the link to my amazing merch. It's in the description. You might find something you like. With that said, I'll see you in the next video. Bye for now.